Next up on Tech Stack, we have Infineon talking about power, robotics, and quantum.
Well, Mr. Jim, Mark Bino with Smart Tech Research.
Jim McGregor with Tyrius Research.
Glad to be at this event. This is my fifth or sixth October Tech. It's actually in a great venue. You know, the Computer History Museum in Mountain View is a real, if you haven't been there, it's really a great place for a venue like this. But let me get your impression, Jim. Infineon is such an interesting company because they're really, they're the kind of the epitome of a technology ingredient company. They're in so many different devices that most people don't even realize that there's probably some Infineon stuff in their device, whether it's a dishwasher, a washing machine, a phone. I mean, they really have a huge presence there. But, and it's always hard sometimes when you come to these events because they have 40 or 50 demos.
Yes.
It's hard to get your arms around them. But a few things kind of jumped out. In your opinion, what kind of jumped out to you?
Well, first off, you have to remember the Infineon's in microcontrollers. They're in power solutions. They're in
EVs.
Wireless. Yeah. They're in a lot of these different applications. So, I mean, some of the ones they highlighted, I really appreciated. They focused on robotics, quantum computing, and just the demands of power management going forward and all the challenges we face with not only growing power, but how the power is changing, like especially when you talk about the data center going to 800 volts and beyond, you know, just to handle the massive requirements of AI. So, I mean, those would be the ones that kind of stood out to me, especially the robotics. I like the robotics.
Yes. Well, you know, what's interesting to me is that it seemed to me, and you have to really see what they did on stage. They had a humanoid robot speaking on and off during the keynotes, but beyond being just a technology demo, which it was for the most part, it seems that Infineon's making a big bet on not just the robotics category, but the humanoid category.
Very much so.
And they, you know, they put some hefty numbers up there in terms of what they think the market projection might be. I mean, I think there were some statements made about, three, four, 5 years from now, people will have purchased at least one robot because there might be different types of robots, but they think that, you know, it's kind of like projecting what the smartphone category might look like in 2006, right before Apple came out with the first iPhone. What do you think? I mean, do you think that's an interesting bet?
Well, I think it is. I as Deep Butala from NVIDIA, which is one of Infineon's key partners, put it, he says, this is really the golden age of robotics. You know, we still have challenges, you know, with training it to be tactile aware. But definitely having that agentic AI, having it ability to, you know, understand its environment and different solutions and actually make decisions.
Yes.
Reasoning decisions.
Right.
I think we've finally gotten to the point. Now, are they all going to take the humanoid form? Matter of fact, one of the things that really stood out to me was the fact that they said, listen, just in our analysis of these humanoid robots, if you put wheels on it instead of feet, you more than double the battery life.
Yes.
So it's great to have it look just like a human, but, you know, for practical reasons.
For power management reasons.
Yes, you may want to have it on wheels. So I mean, I think we're getting to that point where we're finally thinking practically about how to not only build these, but how to, what they're going to be used for and how they're going to be used.
Yeah, you know, what's really interesting is that all the technology ingredients are coming together that it's now possible to have whether it's a humanoid robot or some other form factor, be a practical device that has, you know, practical, pragmatic battery life. It's got the agentic AI capability so it can do a bit of reasoning and do things proactively, which I think is big. I wonder when I take a step back at this saying, and maybe it's an age threshold thing that if you're kind of like, I'll just throw a number out there. If you're over 40, you know, as these devices, especially the physical AI devices that have some type of physical appearance, it's not going to be difficult to make them into devices that are incredibly, they look like a human, and you cannot make that differentiation.
Yeah.
I think for some people, maybe actually a downside, you know, and I wonder if the category that's going to go mass market first will be like a pet, for example, which might be that could serve a variety of different needs for wellness, for aging in place, for security reasons,
mm-hmm.
frankly. I don't know. Who knows? You know, there's rumors that Apple's going to be coming up with some type of robotic device. Who knows if that's going to be true or not? But it's going to be interesting to me. But all the ingredients are coming together.
Yeah.
You know.
You know, I would expect that demand is going to drive that, and just like AI, you know, there's some of the areas I didn't expect AI to pick up on, like, were agriculture.
Yes.
But there's huge demand, and especially for robotics in there to handle the huge labor shortage that we have in that. Healthcare, I think, is going to be a critical one. So I think those industrial segments are still going to be leading the way. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not sure that it's really ready or people will be ready,
yeah.
you know, to be able to handle robots in the house. So that'll be interesting. You know, I almost think that, you know, just like AI, it's not just a matter of training the AI or the robot. We have to almost train the humans.
Yes. Well, no, that's all true. And I think the interesting thing, and I'm just going to date myself, and I'm going to be dating you. I mean, the market is going to be kind of looking for, like, what's the Lotus 1-2-3 or VisiCalc, to go back even before then, that will be the catalyst where people say, I got to have that.
Yeah.
And it may be a very narrow usage model. We all the market research shows that home security is a big deal. People are now putting even webcams inside their house, not just on the exterior of their house, they're putting them on the inside of their house. They're becoming more intelligent. False detects are becoming less of a problem area, which a lot of cameras have had that issue, but AIs and algorithms are helping with that. But I just wonder if there's going to be some type of breakthrough device that is going to come out of left field, that's going to completely kind of reinvent the marketplace, and someone's going to say, you know what, I got to have that. Got to have that. But, you know, who knows?
You know, I'll be honest with you. You know, I've been thinking about the humanoid robots since the Jetsons with Rosie. So, you know, give me Rosie, I'd still be happy. If it can fold my clothes, I'd be happy.
I want a robot vacuum that can climb stairs. And there's actually a few models out there that do, but they're not very good. But anyway, what other categories you thought were kind of interesting?
You know,
all their demos I had out here.
Well, they did talk about, they are highlighting quantum computing, yes. The fact that along with Quantium, they're talking about, you know, we're at this point where we're going to see that scaling to 1 million qubits by the end of the decade.
Which is, can you believe that number? I mean,
It is.
How to wrap your head around that?
It's more than the scaling of Moore's law.
Yes.
That's a key point about quantum, is the fact that we're finally at that point where we're going to see that kind of exponential curve go up very quickly. And quantum's going to be here. Matter of fact, everybody's finally, I think, people are finally realizing that you have to think about quantum cryptography today. And if you haven't, you're in trouble. And, you know, that's a key point that they're trying to bring out, is the fact that, you know, they've got those solutions that help your device, your technology, your platforms, whatever, be quantum safe, so that nobody can actually take that data. You know, that's the problem. Is people could steal the data today and decrypt it in a couple of years, and it's still going to be valuable.
Right.
Well, now we have to be quantum safe.
Yes. Well, and I think what's interesting about quantum computing, and it's such a new area, and it's not just an iterative enhancement with where computational power is. The way it was kind of described to me, and it was a really good analogy, is that there are some math problems out there that are so complex that even supercomputing horsepower can't solve, or it takes years and years to solve them. And especially with AI, where, you know, AI and the really, really good large language models and algorithms, you know, the more data that you feed it, the more efficient and more effective it becomes. And then quantum computing, even though it's still a very expensive proposition right now, that's going to scale down. I mean, that's going to become a cost-effective reason.
And we should also highlight the fact that quantum computing wasn't designed for breaking cryptography. It was designed to solve problems that we can't do today. Even some of the smallest quantum computers are going to exceed today's supercomputers very, very rapidly.
Right.
And, you know, when you start thinking about scientific modeling, weather modeling, you know, DNA sequencing, all these types of applications.
The environment.
Yes.
You know,
all these different applications. And quantum's really going to give us, I hate to use the term, but that quantum leap.
Wasn't that a TV
into the
show?
Future.
Oh, it's a TV show with Scott Bakula. It was one of my favorite shows from the 80s.
Mine too.
Anything else that was kind of top of mind for you?
Just the fact that, you know, power solutions are changing. I think power's become a critical issue, from not just in the data center, but all the way to the edge. So we're seeing a lot of innovation there in terms of power distribution, power management, you know, definitely looking at all the different solutions from silicon carbide to gallium nitride, you know, making sure that we're going to be able to handle, you know, especially on the high end, you know, handle 800 volts, 1500 volts and beyond, just to be able to handle not just data centers, but manufacturing environments and stuff like that. So power, you know, power generation, power distribution, power management, you know, it's good to see that the whole industry is coalescing around addressing this challenge.
No, and Infineon is in the middle of all this stuff.
Yes.
And they've had a leadership position in all of these areas, even on the quantum computing category. Even they would acknowledge they were probably a bit early, but now they feel like they're in a pretty strong position because they kind of jumped there. Well, they'll kind of wrap us for our quick snapshot of what we saw at October Tech. And by the way, that is not an image of Dave Altavilla behind us.
There are some similarities.
It is kind of similar. That's too much Ozempic. Not for Dave. The skeleton took too much Ozempic. That's actually what it says in the caption below. But anyway, Mark Vina with Smart Tech Research and TechStack.
Jim McGregor from Curious Research for TechStack.
Thanks again.